The speed at which electric trucks have become a reality is downright dizzying. They're not yet widely deployed, though, and there's still a lot we don't know about how this is all going to play out in the industry. So we're going to talk about some of the challenges in moving to zero emissions trucks on this episode of HDT's Leadership Insights. This episode of Leadership Insights is produced in partnership with and sponsored by Hendrickson. And with me today from Hendrickson is Jeff Sass. He's Vice President of Marketing. Jeff spent decades in the truck business, and he's been talking, frankly, about how technology is changing the industry for years. In fact, 3 years ago at HDT's own Heavy Duty Trucking Exchange event, he promised that electric trucks are coming. In recent trade shows that we've been to, like Technology and Maintenance Council and Work Truck Show, really bear that out. Electric trucks are here. They're all over the trade shows. But again, that doesn't mean there's not still a lot of questions and hurdles to overcome. So we're going to talk to Jeff about some of those today. So Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Deborah. Happy to be here.
So as I mentioned, the number of electric trucks we saw at recent trade shows was just astounding. Considering less than 3 years ago, it was still saying they're coming.
I think the answer is both, right? They are here, but certainly not in scale. So they're coming is still appropriate because we have to get to scale before they're really actually here.
Yeah, still pretty limited numbers, probably more in California than anywhere, but still not widespread. So, and one of the big concerns in talking to fleets that are looking at adopting battery electric vehicles is range. So we hear, well, if you want more range, you put on more batteries, but those things are heavy. Why is that a problem?
Well, with the GVW laws where they're at, there are only so many pounds that you can carry in your truck or in your trailer. And if you think of something that is a gross out before it cubes out, like a concrete mixer or beverage truck, if you're adding additional capacity, additional weight with batteries, you're losing that in your payload. So there's either going to have to be some type of allowance, and then will they have the right spec with axles and suspension and brakes to carry that additional load, plus what are the bridge laws? So there is a capacity issue that actually could make a company that grosses out before it cubes out have more trucks on the road rather than the same number of trucks and at zero emissions because they have to carry a certain amount of concrete or a certain amount of beer or cola or whatever the case is. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and how battery technology evolves to get that weight out.
So in the meantime, I know there's a lot being done to try to address the weight challenge in the design and speccing of these vehicles. What are you seeing there?
Well, Hendrickson has a long history of producing lightweight components, whether it's a front steer axle and suspension as our soft tech or our lightweight rubber suspensions that we see in the refuse and concrete industries with our Hallmax EX and Primax EX. In addition, we just were recognized by Heavy Duty Trucking for our combination on the class 4-5 electric vehicles with our lightweight soft tech front steer axle, and then the snake spring that we are putting on the rear axle for those vehicles, the lightest weight and best riding suspension combination for those vehicles. Hendrickson will continue to look for all kinds of weight savings opportunities, even into composite springs as needed.
And that combination actually that we just honored, that's was aimed at like last mile delivery, right?
Yes, very much so. It's a kind of a skateboard type of chassis than that any type of body can be put on top of it, but in particular for electric vehicles.
And I'm used to thinking of Hendrickson really, I guess, as class 8 tractor trailers. Is this a new area for you, or is this something you've been doing all along and I just didn't know about?
Well, it is new. We are certainly focused on Class 8 tractors and trailers and straight trucks in the vocational market. But at seeing that there is this new entry into the market, the new need, the Amazon effect, if you will, with everything being delivered same day or next day, the overnight, the last mile delivery has exploded, and we saw that as an opportunity. And then with our expertise in lightweighting and in ride, we were able to develop something for those vehicles that's a little bit different.
Yeah, and that's those local opportunities seem a great area for electric. You know, you're not worrying about where am I going to charge up next. You're going to be coming back to your base typically.
Yeah, there are certain applications that will be first. Obviously, port trucks are ones that do the same type of thing, where they're taking the containers to some type of warehouse and just circling around. They're at home all night. School buses obviously are back at their barn every night, and these last mile as well. So those applications really allow for the electric benefit and the consistency of recharging. When you start talking about range, like we started, if you start looking at the 400, 500 mile range need, the battery needs are going to be higher. And there, if there's any type of issue, recharging could be a struggle as well.
And we have a lot of discussions about charging. I know that trying to figure out charging infrastructure is as much a part of buying an electric vehicle as the vehicle itself. Beyond the challenges of actually getting that infrastructure installed, there's also not a lot of visibility into how much that electricity is actually going to cost. What have you been hearing about that? What are those uncertainties?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of the major fleets have fuel, national account fuel deals with different fueling entities today. No one has one with the electric companies that are across the country, because they're all individually owned on individual municipalities. And even for someone who doesn't have a national account to get consistent fuel pricing, the variation in fuel cost with diesel fuel is somewhere around 30%. It could be $3.50 in one place and $5 in another, but it's still about a 30% variation across the nation at par. With electrical costs, it could be 7x in the same city if you're comparing peak versus off-peak. It could be 10x across the country if you're in the state of Washington with the Grand Coulee Dam versus in Alabama where they're still burning coal. So there are places across the country where the price of electricity varies greatly, and we really don't know what the effects of that will be on the total cost of ownership.
And I was having a discussion with somebody recently. So if we have all these electric vehicles and like, well, we're going to charge overnight off peak hours, when does it become more peak? If you get, how many electric vehicles does it take for that no longer to be an off peak time?
I don't know. There's got to be an algorithm. Someone's writing for it, but it's not me and it's not Hendrickson, but we'll have to cross that bridge, certainly.
So yeah, and when we look more broadly, it's another question a lot of people brought up is at environmental issues electric vehicles are supposed to address. It gets kind of sticky, because if you look at environmental trade-offs, like you mentioned, where I live in Alabama, we happen to have the most polluting coal-burning power plant in the country. So if you are fueling an EV on power that was generated by a less environmentally friendly method, seems like you're just moving emissions from one place to another. Any other things you've seen here in your discussions with fleets?
You're exactly right. I saw a pie chart that came from the government about a year and a half ago, and it showed the number one generator of GHG is transportation. The number two generator is electricity generation. So are you just shifting one from the other? The other thing that we haven't really looked at is the cradle to grave of the electric vehicle, the mining of the lithium in order to create more batteries. What does that produce in greenhouse gases? Are those only going to be done by electric vehicles also, or some other type of zero emission vehicle? And once we get there, what happens to the batteries when they have used their useful life is over? Will those batteries be all recycled? Can they all be recycled? I think there's a lot of unanswered questions on what the impact is going to be of the battery packs and what it takes to build all of them. Do we even have enough lithium on Earth to build all the batteries that we want to build? I think there's a lot of unanswered questions. And I hope I'm not coming off as being a naysayer. I'm not. I think that battery electric is important for the industry and for the environment, as well as the other zero emission options that will be coming as we improve technology over time. Whether it's natural gas or hydrogen fuel cells or something else, there will be continued technology growth, and Hendrickson is here to support them. We continue to have the lightest weight suspensions that will allow for the carrying of additional cargo and the way we can get as efficient as possible. So I think there's a lot of questions with electric, a lot of unanswered questions with electric, but certainly it is the direction that the industry is heading today.
Yeah, just lots of work for companies like you that are addressing some of the issues, and lots of things to cover for journalists like me. So Jeff, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today. Again, we've been talking with Jeff Sass of Hendrickson. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Deborah. We appreciate what you and Heavy Duty Trucking do for the industry, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to HGT's Leadership Insights. You can subscribe to HGT Talks Trucking on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode of HGT Talks Trucking or Leadership Insights.